Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the 5th verse, examine yourselves. Do you not know yourselves? John Calvin introduced his great treatise in theology with the statement, there are two parts to all human knowledge. There is the knowledge of God, and there is the knowledge of man. I think we are well within the mark when we say that our generation, and in particular in the United States, we have an adequate and have an over adequate view of man and the study of man and an inadequate view of the study of God. I have many books on counseling and other books in my library, and it is amazing how many of those books are having to do with self-esteem and self-concept and self-fulfillment and self-happiness, analyzing this aspect of man and this aspect of man's society and how to meet man's need in this way, when we are woefully defunct in our knowledge of who God is. The problem is that man, modern man, can never know himself unless first he knows God. Reminds me of that scripture verse which says, these are the ones who are always searching and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. If you look at yourself, your knowledge will only be of yourself, and that inadequate. Are you familiar with the philosopher Pascal's statement, within us? Pascal said, there is a God-shaped vacuum, and only the shape, only the form, only the outline of God Himself will fit perfectly into that vacuum. It was Augustine who said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Thee. The knowledge of God, do you know yourself indeed? Do you know yourself? Examine yourselves, Paul said. Paul concludes this second letter to the Corinthians, and so we conclude our series of studies in 2 Corinthians today as well by asking them to examine themselves. You see, they had been criticizing Paul. They had criticized his apostleship. They had been listening to false teachers, and they had drawn very poor conclusions about this apostle. And so Paul takes the table and he turns it on them. He holds up a mirror for their reflection and he says to them, do you know yourself? Examine yourself. Now whether we examine ourselves in the light of ourselves or the light of God's Word, it makes all the difference. For when we examine ourselves in the light of God's Word, that light adds clarity to our understanding of who we are. If you compare yourself with yourself, you will always find something to commend yourself for, some progress, something worthy, something notable in yourself. If you compare yourself with someone else, you will always find something that commends yourself because you can say this quality of this individual is not so good. I'm not that bad. I may not go to church all the time, but I know that I'm just as good or better than some of those people who do. And you could be. But dear friend, when you compare yourself with the standard of the Word of God, it is a totally different picture. When the searchlight of eternal truth is cast upon the recesses of your own heart. When I was a little boy, my cousin and I used to roam, explore the backyards of Montgomery. In the summertime, barefoot, we would start out on one side of town and we would go from one side on an adventure to the other side by way of backyards. We would climb garages. We would walk on high brick walls. We would go under fences. We would help ourselves to pomegranates and plums along the way. And if we had enough money, a dime, we would stop at some store and buy an RC or an upper 10. Well, those were the biggest drinks back in those days. But there was a place of adventure in Montgomery called Janetta Ditch. I will leave it to your imagination as to the kind of creek Janetta Ditch was. But it didn't bother us. We used to explore through Janetta Ditch. There happened to be some tunnels in Janetta Ditch. And those tunnels would lead from one street to the next street, and we could come out in different places. We decided to explore. So we climbed into one, and squatting down, we had to make our way through. And then it got so dark, we couldn't see. All went well until I struck a match. And to my horror and surprise, I discovered we were not alone. There were thousands and thousands of cockroaches climbing all over the ceiling and on the walls of this tunnel. I hate cockroaches. I have never run so fast in all my life. We never went back into one of those tunnels. All seems well with your soul until the light of God's Word shines into your heart. Into the tunnels of infested anger, into the dark areas of lust, exposing the cockroaches of pride and sin and self-centeredness. Paul says, examine yourself. Do you know yourself? Well, I want you to do something this morning, very briefly. I want you to examine yourself. Look at yourself. Don't evaluate anybody else in your life. Stop passing judgment on an elder, a deacon, your wife, your husband, your children, your preacher. Anybody else, will you take Paul's advice and will you, with a mirror, as it were, of God's Word, let the light expose the hidden places of your heart? Well, I see here in this chapter that there are some steps for self-examination. And the first step, or the first question, that the Apostle Paul says you can use to examine your life is this. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Whether you are in the faith, in verse 5, that is simply, are you a Christian? If you were to die, do you have assurance that you would go straight to heaven? If it were your turn to go to the hospital, to the CCU unit, and not return from there, if it were your turn to end up in some, God forbid, accident, dear young person, dear Christian, do you know if you were to pillow your head on your bed tonight and not wake up in this life, where you would wake up? John said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Have you received him? Are you a child of God this morning? Are you a Christian? Are you in the faith? Paul includes in that question, is Jesus Christ in you? Is there evidence? If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you of the crime of Christianity? There is a second question in verse 7. The second question is, am I a fake? Paul puts it this way. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable. I mean honest. Am I in the faith? Second question, am I a fake? There's a lot of talk these days about integrity. The Speaker of the House, Smith, is under investigation by the Ethics Committee to determine whether or not he has been an honest man. Marcos of the Philippines has been severely criticized. There is now investigation into the branches of the military for some irregular deal. I still have a problem with the integrity of a Congress that would vote or not vote against themselves having a raise when they knew they would get it if they simply did not vote. That has colored my whole perspective toward the integrity of the Congress. I wonder, what kind of men do we have leading a nation? We know of fallen preachers. Am I honest about what I am? Am I a fake? Am I real? Am I true? And do I do good to others by my honesty? You can do evil to others by your honesty. But are you honest? Are you honest to God and do you do them good? There's a third question. The third question is this. Am I becoming full? Verse 8. Verse 9. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong, and this also we pray that you may be made complete, full. Verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell, become complete. Paul said in Ephesians that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the height and depth and length and breadth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasseth knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Are you content to have enough religion to make you miserable? Or somehow to make your conscience feel better? Or are you experiencing the fullness of God? Are you growing? You know, the most exciting experiment that you will ever have in your life is to become a Christian. Sometimes I almost envy the people I see come to Christ. The reason is, I know what they had to look forward to. I think of discovering the Word of God for the first time in faith. I think of reading all the exciting books there are to read. I think of all the marvelous adventures that God has for the believer. Christian, are you growing? Are you becoming full? Are you growing or just getting fat? Are you receding and receding, or are you maturing in the Christian life? And then Paul asks a fourth question, and that question is in verse 11. He says, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. Am I a fraternal member? A brotherly member of the fellowship? Am I not my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's brother? Am I a brother to him? And am I a brother to her? And am I a brother to these ones? Am I a fraternal member of this fellowship? I think that's what he means when he says, be of one mind, live in peace. The writer of Hebrews said, let it be your ambition to live at peace with all men. Is that your ambition, to be of one mind with the body here? And then finally, there is one other step that Paul mentions in this chapter for self-examination, and it is this question suggested by verse 12. Greet one another with a holy kiss. How many of you kissed each other when you came to church today? Well, not too many of us, I would have to say. In fact, Americans are woefully inhibited when it comes to exhibiting any kind of affection. Even within a family, we are inhibited. We need to take lessons from Pedro Tarquino and some of our other Latin friends. They just love each other and they throw their arms around each other. When I go to Acapulco, Mexico, to participate in the churches there, these big, husky taxi cab drivers, when they see me, you know, put a bear hug on you, so liberated. Now, I'm not suggesting that we go around kissing each other. You can certainly get into trouble that way, depending on who you kiss. But what Paul is suggesting is that we greet one another. And this is a question. Am I friendly toward the Christians I know? Am I friendly toward the Christians I know? I say toward the Christians I know Because it's easy to be friendly toward the Christians you don't know. The hard thing in the Christian life is to be friendly to the ones you do know. Even the ones who come to church. Do I wait for people to greet me? To welcome me and to say hello to me? Or do I take the first step and take their hand and welcome them and greet them in the name of Christ? Our pattern for welcoming is Jesus Christ. He said, you are my friends. And he showed us for what friendship was, because he came to us and he said, hey, I want to be your friend. And we said, go to hell, Jesus. And he said, okay. And so he took your sins and he went to hell. And then he came back and he said, I want to be your friend. And if you'll take my hand, I will lead you to heaven. He drew a circle. I drew a circle that kept him out. He drew a circle that brought me in. Am I in the faith? Am I of faith? Am I becoming full? Am I a fraternal member of the fellowship? Am I friendly as a sign of my relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, this is a little artificial, but I want to give you an opportunity to exhibit some evidence of that relationship and your gift of friendliness. And at this time, I would like for everyone to stand.